We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're in the middle of the 38th chapter, and we had learned about the sale of Yosef, the devastating sale of Yosef, and then the pact, the cheirem, that they made that no one would tell, and that God joined in that pact. And now we are up to Rabbi Yanai Omer. We all know Rabbi Yanai. There was a Tana Rabbi Yanai, shows up in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, and there was an Amora Rabbi Yanai, the Rebbe of Adam, Yehuda, Rabbi of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yanai Omer. Rabbi Yanai says, Mechirat Yosef lo nitkaper lashvatim ad shemetu. The sale of Yosef was not forgiven to the tribes to the day they died. Shenemar, as the verse says, V'nigla be'oznai Hashem tzevakot. It is revealed to my ears, says God of the armies, Im yechupar ha'avon hazeh lachem atem mutun, lest I forgive this sin for you to the day you die. So the sin of the tribe's sale of Yosef wasn't forgiven till the day they died. This pasuk speaks about a chilul Hashem. What a desecration of God's name. 10 brothers sell 1. 9 brothers sell 1. And so the Navi describes that that sin doesn't get forgiven till the day a person dies. And what does it mean, till you die? The Targum says, till you die a second death. A second death. What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean? Excellent! I was waiting for you, Mr. Engelberg. Oh, the 10 martyrs. We say it in our prayers of Tisha B'Av. We say it in our prayers of Yom Kippur, that the 10 martyrs, there was a declaration in heaven that they would come, and they were the 10 tribes. They were Gilgal, I guess, of the 10 tribes. And they had to pass a second death. No, it's okay. So happens to be a medrash on Megillas Rus.
Isn't this the halacha?
Second death? I don't think so.
In regards to, okay.
The book enumerates which of the martyrs is which of the
children. Very nice. Uvimchirat Yosef, and when Yosef was sold, Bara'av Be'eretz Yisrael Sheva Shanim. A famine set in the land of Israel for 7 years. So the brothers sell Yosef, they come back to Israel, and suddenly the economy goes bad. No rain, famine. Yosef's brothers went down to buy food from Egypt. They discover Yosef's alive. And then they annul their pact. You know there are 21 years in between. Two different concepts. The first seven years there was a famine, and then there was another famine. Two separate things.
We're not talking about the famine that struck Egypt.
Two separate things. That famine only lasted 2 years when the brothers came down. This is saying there was a 7-year famine initially. And then 21 years later, you had 19 years later, you had another 2 years of famine. Vishama Yaakov al Yosef Shuchai. And so Yaakov heard that Yosef was alive. Vichayeta Rucho. And his spirit came back to life. God came back to him. He had Ruach Kodesh again. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihen. Yaakov, their father, his spirit came back to life. Was his spirit dead that it came back to life? But because of their pact, for 21 years, God left Yaakov. Imagine what Yaakov felt like, being hit from two sides all at once. On the one hand, he discovers his son's dead. On the other hand, he can't get out of the misery of hearing that his son's been killed, and God isn't with him for 21 years.
That's
I didn't get that.
There's no light of this passage. There's a in the pasuk it says that Yaakov's eyes were dim.
והנה ישראל כבדו מזוק אין לא יוכל לראות in Parshas Vayechi is happening years after the story. And here we say his spirit came back. Yeah.
So if Avram's two sons don't get along and Yitzhak's two sons don't get along, why doesn't Yaakov make the biggest point about you guys got to stick together or else there's no point in
all? I'm sure Yaakov tried.
The big thing that we know about this family.
Didn't succeed. Yaakov did his best. Don't forget, he has a problem. He has two orphans. He has three other wives. There's internal politics. Yosef and Binyamin are two orphans. His wife passed away. He has internal politics between everything else that's going on, between the wives, between the kids. So, you know, I'm simplifying things. We're talking about huge tzaddikim. But at the end of the day, this wasn't easy on Yaakov. Yaakov did an amazing job. Look, all of them came out tzaddikim. There was one point where he made a small, slight mistake. And it's not even such a difficult mistake to understand, because Yosef was the sharpest of the brothers. He was going to be king over the brothers. There was an aspect where he was the firstborn in the family, and he was supposed to be the leader. What to do? He was the youngest. What to do that the brothers got jealous? So Yaakov had a certain calculation, which wasn't in error completely, but there was a slight error in his calculation, and the brothers got jealous. Now even their jealousy shouldn't be understood in simplistic terms. You're talking about giants. You're talking about tzaddikim beyond our wildest dreams. So we read this in simplistic form, but we have to understand that there's much, much more depth. We can't bring them down to our level. Now that they annulled the pact, God settled down on him just as before. Shnemar v'techi ruach Yaakov avihim. As the verse says, Yaakov, their father, his spirit came back to life. V'tergem unkulus, and unkulus translated. Unkulus translated. V'sharat ruach nevuah al Yaakov avuhon. And the spirit of prophecy settled on Yaakov, their father. This is probably an added footnote, because unkulos got his translation from Rabbi Eliezer. So for Rabbi Eliezer and the Medrash to be quoting unkulos doesn't exactly fit. So that's why the commentaries point out that this line is really probably a footnote that was on the side that somehow made its way into the text. Someone added this footnote and said, hey, you see, it goes in line with Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, what his student Unkelos said. And then somehow that made it into the Medrash. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hacherem Yashvo Ushvar Yacherem. Cherem, the pact, is really like a vow, and a vow is like a pact. V'chol mishu mefer tachem kilu mefer tashvua. And whoever undoes the pact, it's like he undid a vow. V'chol mishu yodeh adavar v'ino magid ba'alav acherem umchaleh oto v'titza v'tavanav. And whoever knows and does not tell, the pact destroys him, his trees, his stones. Shnemal, the verse says, V'chilatu v'titza v'tavanav. The verse says that in Zechariah. And I'll prove to you the strength of the cherem. Teida lecha ech koach ha-cherem haya gadol. Come, I'll show you what great power the cherem had. And now he's going to show how human beings can make pacts, involve God in those pacts, and then they have tremendous power. So he's going to show it from history. Where's the first cherem we encounter? In the Torah. He doesn't start there. He starts with Yoshua. Ba'orem Yoshua binun, shechrim et Yericho. When Yoshua conquered Jericho, so he made a pact. No one's touching the loot of Jericho. We conquered Jericho on Shabbos. And so all the loot of Jericho is holy. We leave it for God. He v'chol ha-shabav saraf be'esh. Everything they conquered from Jericho, and they burnt the city in fire. Achan ben Karmi ben Zerach ra'a et ha-tefachim. There was a man named Achan. What does Achan mean in Hebrew? Who knows? Achan, Achna. Achan is a snake. In Hebrew, Achan is a specific type of snake, but it's a snake. So Achan, this man whose name was Achan, he saw figurines. He saw figures of a human being, trophim. And this was a human figure that they used to put a gold tongue into this figure, into this idol. And Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer explained it about 20 chapters ago. We did it about 3 years ago. What are the trophim? You guys curious?
Sure. This sounds very
cool. Okay, so Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer explained that you have to murder a firstborn, slice his head off, and then you have to do a certain procedure with the skull. And then after you do that procedure with the skull, if you know the incantations and what to say and what to do, then you could put this slither of gold in the tongue of the skull, and then it could talk. You ask it questions, it could answer you. That's what Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer explained in a nutshell about the trophim that Lavan had. So over here, Achan saw these trophim, this figurine with a gold tongue. And the silver that people used to bring as sacrifices before the trophim, and the crown they spread out before this idol, and the gold tongue in its mouth, he desired it. So even though Yehoshua made a pact, no one's touching the loot of Jericho, along comes Mr. Achan, and takes and puts it in his tent. And because he went against the pact, 36 righteous people died in the upcoming war because he broke the pact. The Jewish people made a pact, he broke the pact. So 36 tzaddikim passed away in the next war. Shenemar, as the verse says, when they fought the city of Ai, that was the next city they attacked, 36 people were hit by the people of Ai. And when that happened, Yeshua tore his clothing and threw himself on the ground before the Aron of the covenant of God. So he threw himself before Hashem, ubikesh shuva, and Yeshua begged Hashem for an answer. He said, Yeshua begged that Hashem accept the tshuva, the repentance of the Jewish people. V'nirtzalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem accepted their tshuva, and Hashem said, ve'amar lo liYoshua, he said to him, Yeshua, Ma'al Yisrael Bacherem. You want to know why you lost 36 people in this war? The Jewish people didn't live up to the pact you made with me. You said a vow, all of the loot is going to God, and they didn't. Shneimar, the verse says, Chata Yisrael, Israel has sinned, and they stole from the Cherem. Ra'a Yoshua b'shtim sravanim shekuen gadol. Yoshua looked and saw in the 12 stones of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, he looked at the stones, and he saw these stones, Shen Keneg Shnemasar Shvatim, each stone corresponds to a different tribe. And any tribe that was strong in a mitzvah, their stone would shine. And whatever tribe had a sin, they would be dim, they wouldn't be shining. He looks at the breastplate, and one stone is dim, the stone of the tribe of Yehuda. Ve'pil goralot, so he drew lots, v'nilkad Achan, and then Achan was captured. Shneimar, the pasuk says, ve'ilched Achan ben Karmi. Lakach Yoshua et Achan ve'et hakesef ve'yadot v'lishon hazahav. So Yoshua took Achan the silver, the crown, the silver, the gold tongue, ve'et banav ve'et benotav ve'et kol asher lo, his sons and daughters and everything he owned, ve'elam le'emek Achor. He took them up to the valley of Achor. Uchtiv, and the pasuk says, lo imtu avot al banim. Fathers don't get killed over son's sin. Sons don't get killed over father's sin. So why did he take all his children along? So then why did these die? Why did Achan's children die? They didn't steal from it. What's it there for? Maybe they were married already. Well, was this his kid's fault? Because they knew he had stolen. They had come home and he said, look at what I got. Look at what a beautiful loot I got. They knew and they kept quiet. They were stoned and burnt. If stoning, why burning? And if burning, why stoning? Stoning over knowing and being silent. And they burnt the bodies because 36 people died because of them. Shnemar, the pasuk says, "Vayikum mehem anshei ha'ai ki-shloshim v'shisha ish." Right. That's why they needed God in the picture. You're right.
From when do we pass from?
I think you'd meet
Nebuah or a son. Or a young adult.
I don't know. I never thought of that. It's a good question. You know. I don't know. I have to look into it. It's an excellent question. It's an obvious question. I should have asked it. I mean, I never did. You know what our sages say? Sometimes you have a gem that's covered with a leaf. All it takes is someone to take off the leaf and everyone sees the gem. But who knows to take off the leaf? You know, after you take off the leaf, everyone sees it. It's a good question. I have to look into it. I don't know. He's saying, technically, halachically, by what right do you kill based upon prophecy? You could go to war based on prophecy, okay. But to kill a person, I don't know.
Well, that's also the principle that Bnei Sota is based on. It's not like you have a witness.
Their God's killing her. But their God is killing her. Here we killed. So he admitted, fine, but why do you get death penalty for that? אלא סקילם בני שידעו בדבר ולא הגיעו, סופה שמת לו 36 צדיקים, שנאמר ויקום הם אנשי האי כ-36 איש. ועל שנתן הודיעה לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, and because Achan admitted before God, יש לו חלק לעולם הבא, he has a portion in the world to come, שנאמר, the verse says, יעקוך השם ביום הזה, God will destroy you on this day, the pasuk is indicating, היום הזה אתה אחו ואין אתה אחו לעולם הבא. And you are not destroyed in the world to come. So that's the first example of the power of the pact with God, of the Cherem. And I think you guys have koch to move forward? Yes, sir.
Shaul is the exact same thing. Yoshua is the king at this point. He sees a threat, he kills. He's well in his right. Shaul didn't have witnesses either. He didn't do it on prophecy or anything, but doesn't need to, neither does Yeshua. Yeshua sees a threat. He, as king, has the right to kill the threat.
I hear. Your answer might be correct. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You're saying technically a king could kill, and he doesn't have to justify it. I hear.
He's also a Navi. What's
yeah, but a Navi is the problem. A Navi isn't the solution. Meaning the courts can do things. The king can do things. A prophet is not supposed to do things different than the Torah. Technically, biblically, they deserve to be killed by heavens, not by Yoshua.
But from when does Yoshua have the status of the king?
He does. Sure. Where do we learn that you don't obey a king if he doesn't keep the mitzvahs of the Torah? From the words that they told Yoshua. Kol ish asher yamre et picha ולא ישמע לכל אשר צווינו יומת, רק חזק ואמץ. חזק ואמץ over there. Is, from there we learn the laws of a king, sure.
What did
you
know?
I'm not following. What are you saying, David?
They say, right. You up until you
drink. Right, perfect, you're right. Okay, so we'll pick up here, Bezachim, next time.